Okay. Last time. Looking at God's faithfulness. And we were looking at God's faithfulness to redeem His people. Him entering covenant with His people. And fulfilling His promises to His people. And we kind of asked the question, how does that happen? Has redemption always been the same since the beginning of time? And will it be the same to the end of time? And as we ended last time, redemption, or salvation, has something to do with God's people hearing. And we spent a little time in Romans 10. And then Pastor Greg, in his sermon, covered what I would call a section of Scripture that involved hearing, and that was the parable of the soils. So it's funny, you know, I sent on my email talking about, here's the Scripture verses that we're going to cover. And this hearing business just kind of stuck with me all week. So then, of course, when I sat down to actually do my study yesterday morning, I did a word search or study on the word hear to see its relationship with the gospel. So we're not going to be covering any of the scripture verses that I sent out in my email. And then I keep thinking, I have got such a backload of scripture verses. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be good for Sunday school for a while because everything I tell you we're going to talk about keeps getting pushed down and something new is happening here. Yeah. So let me try to review how this hearing business fits in our study of God's faithfulness versus the appearance that I'm biblically ADD and all over the place. So, if you remember, when we started this study, to see how God is and is always faithful to His people, we raised the question, who are God's people? And then we started looking in the Old Testament, looking at Israel, because that is where God's faithfulness to His people started to be recorded in some detail. Because, you know, if we go through Genesis, we can, you know, start with Adam and Eve, and then we can see Adam and Eve's life, and then we get to Noah, and then after Noah, we eventually get to Abraham, and then after Abraham, we get to this point where there's all these people in captivity in Egypt, and then we hear the Moses story. So that's kind of where we started out. And we kind of did a survey, like I said, of the promises that were given to Abraham to be the father and blessing of many nations, and that's a plural word. And we saw how the exodus of God's people that are now called Israel in this, you know, back in Exodus, they're called Israel, and how they came out of Egypt and then went into the desert. And then we saw that up to a point where only a remnant of this massive amount of people actually were able to enter into the promised land. And then I took us to Deuteronomy. And we had kind of a review of Deuteronomy 28, 29, and in particular 30, where God's plan of blessing and cursing, in other words, the picture of redemption and its promises, is laid out in detail. The Hebrew word shamah is the word that is translated as hearken in Deuteronomy, particular chapter 30. And it's also translated as obey. And it is used extensively to command God's people to hear intelligently. That is the definition of the word shama. To hear intelligently, to diligently hearken, to understand, and to obey the voice of the Lord. So that brought us to the point where we were discussing if Deuteronomy 30, and this is last week, if Deuteronomy 30 was the gospel. And the reason I asked that is because I reviewed Mark chapter 1, where Jesus started his public ministry telling these Israelites to repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. And then we discussed, you look up the word gospel, it just means good news. So what was the good news Jesus was telling these Jews to believe, since none of them knew anything about Jesus dying for their sin, rising from the dead, and ascending into heaven, which is, from our vantage point, since we're past the cross, we think of the gospel as Jesus died for your sin, he rose from the dead, hence we're able to rise from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and there's a day that we're going to ascend into heaven, so that's the gospel. But what I brought to your attention is I found it interesting that Mark 1 says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here he is telling people to repent and believe the gospel. And at the point he said that, they had no clue that he was going to be the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 and Psalm 88. That was 3 years away still. When he said, believe this gospel. We potentially could go to Malachi chapter 3, because if we read Mark 1, that's talking about how John the Baptist came from the wilderness, and he was going to be the forerunner, and he was going to point to Christ. So maybe some people could have done some math at that point in time saying, ooh, maybe he's the one. But could they actually do the math to say he was the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 and Psalm 88? That was still 3 years away. So I'm still back to the question here. What is this gospel? So that's where, with my looking up the word hearing yesterday, that brings us back that I want to cover this hearing information a little more today. The theme of the gospel of the Old Covenant was to hear with the intent to obey. And it says, if you obeyed, there was nothing but good news, blessing for the people who obeyed. If you did not obey, there was nothing but bad news or cursing. So that's kind of where we ended last week. And I'll be honest with you, I felt like I could sense some nervousness because, you know, we're Reformed types. That going back to Deuteronomy 30 and proclaiming this to be the gospel is actually proclaiming another gospel from the one you were called into by the grace of Christ. That is a quote that Pastor Greg actually referenced last week in Galatians 1, that he's saying Judaizers were coming in and proclaiming a different gospel. And then Paul goes on to state some things in chapter 2 and the end of chapter 1 that are very firm words. He He talks about sneaky, false brethren sneaking in among the body to proclaim, steal, and mislead the people of Christ from their freedom and liberty that they had in Christ, to bring them back under bondage. So then, with this contrast of the real gospel and the false gospel and the sneaky people who were trying to talk about it, Paul proposes the question to the audience in Galatians: are you justified by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Because really, if we were to create a chart, you know, and I've mentioned this numerous times, it's like there's only two sides. There's only two columns. Believer, unbeliever. Righteous, unrighteous. Works of the law, hearing of faith. And one of these days, since I actually got a new laptop, I'm going to bring that laptop and I'm going to produce a chart so that we can actually look at it up here, and maybe I'll print it out and hand it out. And we're going to discuss that chart here in a future Sunday school in regards to how the plan of redemption lines up. But that is a future thing. So Galatians 3:10, does anybody want to read that? All right, Karen. Okay. Another thing that I discovered while studying yesterday is in Blue Letter Bible, if you choose the, not interpretation, but the version, the NASB, so when you search scripture verses in Blue Letter Bible in the NASB, it cap locks every verse that contains a cross reference to the Old Testament. I found that really interesting. Because guess what? Galatians 3:10, Paul, guess what Old Testament scripture he is referencing here? That's right. He is referencing Deuteronomy 29:20. So he brings up an Old Testament language that if you are of the works of the law, you are under the curse. I mean, so we can go right back to Deuteronomy where I was talking about the gospel being either the good news of being blessed or the bad news of being cursed. And then if we were to, then what does this say? So if we go back to Galatians 3:8, and the scripture, what's that referring to? Remember, when Paul was writing this, this has to point back. This is pointing back to the Old Testament. Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all nations shall be blessed. You have the NASB, right, Rick? Read verse 8. Yeah. Preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. So my point is that there's a gospel being preached a long, long time ago to Israel. So let's go to Genesis 15. And in Genesis 15, verses 4 through 6, it says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou shalt be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, referencing Abraham, believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. So, is the gospel before the cross different than the gospel after the cross? Do we today believe in the Lord and it is counted to us as righteousness? Believe what? Does Abraham believe the word of the Lord? And again, somebody could argue that, well, God said something specific to Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations. Is that the only thing Abraham ever believed about the word of the Lord? Here is the million-dollar question. If we are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, if all Scripture is profitable, then the question is Deuteronomy 30 the works of the law or the hearing of faith? There's going to be a biblical answer for that. So, let's go back to Romans 10. Because I found this very interesting. Because like I said earlier, when we read from the Old Testament and people are saying that the Old Testament is the work of the law and I'm not under the law, and basically they're saying the Old Testament has nothing to do with me. Well, let's just ponder that here. So, let's start in Romans 9, and we're going to read 30 through 33 first. It says, What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. So again, as Paul, you know, we could have read all of Romans 9, and in Romans 9, Paul is establishing the doctrine of election to show how God used Israel, and then how God is saving his elect from both Israel and the Gentiles, and how that God is the one who's in charge of that process. So then there must have been questions, because in verse 30 he kind of assumes a question was asked, and he goes, what shall we say? So he talks about that the Gentiles are appearing to be getting saved here, and the Jews are not. And he explains that the Gentiles are getting saved because they are pursuing it by faith. And he said the Jews were doing it by works. And then in 33, he quotes Isaiah 28:16, that they are stumbling all over the stone of stumbling. So in verse 1 of Romans 10, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. So this is just like chapter 9. Paul is burdened over his kinsmen. And I'm sure he's burdened over his kinsmen because he's flesh and blood. And it's quite obvious his circle of friends and people were blood kinsmen. And it's quite obvious Paul has been revealed the mystery of the gospel. And now he's sharing, and it's like his kinsmen aren't getting it. I mean, is that, how familiar is that with Paul as it is with us? That we've been given the gift of the mystery of the gospel, and we go to talk to somebody, and they're looking at us like, you're from Mars. We don't get this. And just like Paul is groaning for his circle of influence, I mean, don't we also groan for our circle of influence? And he goes, I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and a seeking to establish their own, I just, this is like written 2,000 years ago. I mean, isn't that exactly what's going on today? People have a zeal, and they'll even say they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance to knowledge. Not knowing God's righteousness, they established their own. They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now here's what's interesting, verse 5. For Moses writes. We're going backwards now. That the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will ascend into the abyss? That is to say, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Look in the margins of your study Bible. What is Paul quoting here? He is quoting Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. And he is quoting Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14, which back in verse 6, Paul says that Moses wrote that it's the righteousness based on faith. And here's what it says. And he quotes Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. So let's go back there. So 11 through 14 says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it." There's one of those hear words that I did a word search on and found. "That we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." So Deuteronomy 11 says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." So, what is Deuteronomy 30 saying? If we go back to Romans 10, verse 9. So Paul, starting in verse 5, he's quoting Moses in Deuteronomy 30, and he's talking about that, the righteousness that is based on faith. So he points back to the word of the Lord. And then in verse 9, it's like, here's how this plays out now, currently, going forward. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That's pointing back to Isaiah 28:16. So remember, Paul's burden for the Jews is being revealed here in this section, where he's pointing back to the scripture verses they should have been familiar with that revealed how they were to obtain righteousness through faith. And then he brings it forward and current and how that actually applies with Christ. And then in verse 12, bring it back to the present. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Goes back to Joel, chapter 2, 32. He's talking to these Jews. He's going, the righteousness based on faith was available to you to call on the name of the Lord, believe, and be saved. And then in verse 14, it says, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, another trip backwards. How will they preach unless they are sent? For as written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Isaiah 52:7. Yes, faith. So in verse 16, it says, however, they, speaking of the Jews, did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And that's from Isaiah 53:7. So then, his burden is revealed, saying that he knows there's a significant group of Jews who are not going to heed the good news. And then in verse 17, he comes back to the current and he says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So I just found it amazing when I did my word study on the word hear that I ended up finding out that this section of Romans 10 is, Paul is quoting extensively Deuteronomy chapter 30. Paul references all these Old Testament scriptures to point out our heart, our faith, our belief, and our confession that results in the righteousness of faith. Hence our salvation and hence our redemption. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 30. And we're going to read 15 through 20 here. Anybody would like to read 15 through 20? Rick. Isn't that the gospel? Every day. Are these Old Testament scriptures referencing the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Paul said that when he quoted these in Romans 10, that it is the righteousness based on faith. Life and death, blessing and cursing. When Paul spoke these words, and even when we hear these words today, is not heaven and earth called as a witness against us that God has set life and death, blessing and cursing before us? To choose life by loving the Lord, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. That is what Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20 is saying. And I've been talking about this for weeks when I gave you the homework to look up the word love and keep. And we're going to look at some of those. And if anybody happened to look those up, and if you happen to have your list with you, go to Deuteronomy 5:10, chapter 5, verse 10. I've got a whole list of them that I've had here for weeks, but we're just going to pick out a few here. In Deuteronomy 5:10, it says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Verse 4. "And I unto the Lord my God and made my confession." Find that interesting, because we just read that in Romans 10. "And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments." So just in case we think that these Old Testament verses have nothing to do with us because it's the works of the law, let's go to John chapter 14. So we're going to read 15 through 24. Does anybody want to read 15 through 24? All right, Kathy. Jesus is quoting all these Old Testament verses. If you love me, you'll keep my commandment. So the point here, as whether we read Deuteronomy 30 or we read John chapter 14 or we read Romans 10, and Pastor Greg has mentioned this a ton of times from the front, what's in your heart? Do we have the righteousness of faith because we believe what God has said? Or are we busy doing all this stuff as the works of the flesh? Because whether you're in Deuteronomy 30 or you're in John chapter 14, God of the Old Testament and God of the New Testament is saying the same thing. Love me. Believe me. Keep my commandments. Hold fast unto me. Trust me. It's the same message. It's the good news. Because there isn't any greater blessing or place to be but in the hand of Almighty God, because you have believed every word. You believed every word. So, we're done. We're past time. So, but next time, we're going to look at, and I'll send these out to you, and maybe we'll cover them. Maybe I'll find something else to talk about Saturday morning, but I'm pretty sure we're going to cover these other hearing verses. And again, I would ask you, go into your technology and type in the word hear or the word heard, or if in the King James, hearken, but I think that's pretty much from the Old Testament, and see what scripture verses come up, because it's pretty interesting. Let's pray.